texts out of the book of Genesis. We'll begin reading at verse 21 and read through verse 29. Verse 29 is our text, and we'll also read a couple of verses from Hebrews 11. Just two verses from Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. We'll begin our reading at Genesis 5, verse 21. And Enoch lived 65 years and begat Methuselah. And Enoch walked with God after he begat Methuselah 300 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Enoch were 365 years. And Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. And Methuselah lived 187 years and begat Lamech. And Methuselah lived after he begat Lamech 782 years and begat sons and daughters. And all the days of Methuselah were 969 years, and he died. And Lamech lived 182 years and begat a son. And he called his name Noah, saying, "The same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And then the following verses show that Lamech lived to be 777 years old, and he died 5 years short of the flood. And let's turn to Hebrews 11, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was translated, that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. This is God's holy and inspired word. May he bless it to our hearts this evening. Our text is Genesis 5, verse 29. And he, that is Lamech, called his son's name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Beloved congregation in our Lord Jesus Christ, we deal with godly Lamech this evening from Genesis 5. And to avoid any confusion, let's be perfectly clear on which Lamech this was. There is a Lamech in Cain's generations too, that seventh from Adam, who was the seed of the serpent, that godless man who boasted of his wickedness in killing a man, who married two wives. That's not the Lamech about whom we speak. But rather, the Lamech that we look at tonight is the Lamech who's the descendant of Adam through Seth. Lamech who is the seed of the woman, godly Lamech, who was the ninth from Adam. Enoch being the seventh from Adam, Methuselah being the eighth from Adam, Lamech being the ninth from Adam, followed by his son Noah. We study tonight the life and times, and especially the confession of this godly Lamech. Lamech was a man in trouble. Lamech was a man surrounded by trouble. But Lamech was a man who had hope. And his hope was rooted in the promise of Jehovah God that he would save his people through the seed of the woman. To that hope, Lamech gave expression in our text when he named his son Noah, which name means rest. And Lamech explained the meaning of Noah's son this way: "He shall give us comfort, this same shall give us comfort concerning the labor and the toil of our hands, because of the curse of the Lord upon the ground. Lamech lived a life of trouble, perhaps even indicated by the relative brevity of his life compared to the other generations around him. He lived only to be 777, dying 5 years before the flood, in a day when all the others were living to be 900 or close to 900 or more. Lamech lived a life filled with sorrow and trouble, and yet he confessed there is salvation in the promise of the Lord. And that is the word of God to us tonight who also live in the midst of trouble, the trouble that our sin brings us and the curse that sin has and the consequences that sin have for us. We also live in hope that through the seed of the woman, our Lord Jesus Christ, we are given rest and comfort. And so we consider this word of God tonight under the theme, Comfort for Groaning Lamech. In the first place, we consider Lamech's groaning. In the second place, we consider Lamech's hope. And in the third place, we consider Lamech's prophecy in the naming of his son. Comfort for groaning Lamech. Lamech's groaning, Lamech's hope, and Lamech's prophecy. Lamech, the ninth from Adam, was troubled. You can hear that trouble in his voice as he names his son. He called his name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Dripping from Lamech's voice is the trouble that he finds himself in. And Lamech identifies his trouble at heart as the very curse of Jehovah God. That's the word he uses regarding God's pronouncement towards the ground. He says, "Because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." And by using that word curse, Lamech identifies God's own curse as the central trouble that he was facing. Lamech not only identified God's curse as the trouble that he faced, but he identifies the curse of God as the primary trouble that every human being suffers. And therefore, our task at the beginning of the sermon this evening is to understand that curse of God. What is that curse of God? What is that curse essentially at its very heart? The curse of God is essentially death. The curse is essentially death. God indicated that early on in Genesis 2, verse 17, when he told Adam, "In the day that you disobey me and eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, you shall surely die." You'll die if you disobey. My curse upon you will be death for disobedience. That curse of God is revealed elsewhere in Scripture as well. In Romans 5, verse 12, we read, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned," we find again that the curse, the essence of the curse, is death. And a little later in Romans 6, verse 23, we read, "The wages of sin is death." The essence of the curse is death. Now, when we talk about the essence of the curse as death, that indicates to us that there's a cause for this death. There's a cause for this curse. God did not make a dead creation. He made a living creation. The fact that death has entered in then shows that there's some cause for it. And as these passages we've read indicate, the cause of the curse, the cause of death, is sin. Adam's sin, who was created upright. Adam, who was made in the image of God so that he knew God, was perfectly righteous before God, and lived in holiness unto God. Adam, who was made in uprightness, violated the command of God and fell into sin. And the moment he did so, Adam died. as God says, in the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. The cause of the curse is sin. The cause of death, therefore, is sin. That's a sobering word for us, because you and I, as we are gathered here this evening, are sinners. You and I, in this Lord's Day, have gone against the command of God in many ways. You and I, as to our old man of sin, are corrupt. We're totally depraved. And that sin, that depravity, is the cause of Jehovah's curse, the cause of the death that reigns over human beings. But that curse has to be explained further, because God said to Adam, in the day that you eat thereof, you shall die. In the day that you eat thereof. And yet Adam lived for 930 years. How can it be that in the day he disobeyed God, he died, if he didn't die? And the explanation is that the curse of God is essentially spiritual death. That's the heart of the curse. Adam, who was alive spiritually before the fall, died instantly spiritually at the moment of the fall. And all the human race is dead spiritually in him. That's the word of God in Romans 5 again, verses 12 and following. As by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. And then Paul goes on in Romans 5 to explain how it can be that even though we weren't there with Adam at the beginning, death, spiritual death, is true of us by nature. And the answer is that Adam represented us in paradise, but death, spiritual death, has passed upon all men. That's the curse, that spiritual death. What does it feel like to be spiritually dead? Well, there's consciousness in someone who's spiritually dead. Someone who's spiritually dead has a mind, they have a will, they can think, they can decide, they can act. But to be spiritually dead means that that image of God, of knowledge, righteousness, and holiness is gone. So that the man who is spiritually dead does not know God. He knows that there is a God. He even knows the secret things of God, for they've been revealed in the creation. But he doesn't know Him in the sense of having any love for Him, in the sense of trusting in Him in any way. The man who is dead in sin does not know God and cannot know God. That's awful death. That's an awful curse. And for us who know God and who know what it feels like to have that knowledge of Him and trust and love, we can see how awful that curse of God is. What would it be like not to know Him? Not to be able to pray to Him? Not to have confidence that He is for us and never against us? That death is awful. That curse is sobering. That spiritual death also is experienced this way, that the one who is spiritually dead is not right before God. That original righteousness was lost by Adam in his fall. And that means that as we stand, that is, as someone who is dead in sin stands before God, they have no knowledge of being right with Him. In fact, at the back of their mind, there's this niggling suspicion that they're not right with Him. And for many, it's not just a niggling suspicion at the back of the mind, but it is a very conscious knowledge. God is against me, and I am not right with Him. And then to be cursed, to be spiritually dead, means that there's no holiness, so that the person who's dead does not desire to walk according to God's way. He's not able to and does not live in holiness to God. He consecrates himself to himself or to the other gods of this world, but he does not and will not and cannot consecrate himself to Jehovah God. That's what the curse is, this spiritual death. And that spiritual death is awful. That was Lamech's problem. As he looked around him, as he looked at his ancestors before him, as he watched the population of the earth grow tremendously, maybe even exponential population growth, he saw the curse of God is here, and that many are dead and depraved in spirit and heart before Jehovah. That cause of the curse, sin, and that curse itself, which is spiritual death, brings with it other consequences. And the main consequence that spiritual death brings with it is also physical death. And that's evident too from the passages that we read. In the day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Well, Adam died spiritually instantly, but 930 years later he would die physically too. Or Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, which includes that physical consequence of the curse, which is physical death. Or Romans 5, verse 12, through one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. So that as we look around us today, we see physical death everywhere. And that physical death is a tangible, visible, observable phenomenon that signifies the invisible spiritual reality that death is being dead spiritually, that the curse is being killed spiritually. Physical death reminds us of the spiritual death that all of us deserve by nature. Lamech saw something of that too. As he says in verse 29, this Noah shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed. Lamech is paying attention especially to the specific aspects of the curse that God had enumerated in Genesis 3. And all of those specific aspects of the curse have to do with physical death. Even to the serpent, God said, your head will be crushed. That's death. To the woman, God said, your desire shall be to your husband, and there shall be sorrow, an increase of sorrow in your childbearing. There will be pain, pain of body, and there will be pain of soul in bringing forth children and in being a wife to your husband. And to Adam he said, your dust, and to dust you shall return. And even the ground is going to be fighting against you as I curse it. It will bring forth thorns and thistles, so that the sustenance you need from the earth will be hard to come by, and in the sweat of your brow you will eat your bread. The specific words that God spoke in Genesis 3 all have to do with this idea of physical death as part of the curse. And then the curse brings with it also many other consequences of sorrow and distress and trouble for the people of God. So that we find Lamech in Genesis 5, verse 29, especially taking note of the work and toil of our hands. Imagine Lamech there, looking at his generations. He's the ninth from Adam. And as he looks at all of these generations, he sees from the fall there's been work and toil. And now for hundreds of years there has been work and toil, and in our sweat we have brought bread out of the earth. Imagine Lamech looking at his own life, expecting to live 900 years perhaps, like the generations before him, and saying, what a long life that is, to work so hard and to sweat so hard. To put that in some perspective, when we get to be maybe 60 or 62 or 63, we start looking ahead to the date of our retirement, looking back over our career and saying, that was hard work. I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears into the career that God gave me. And now, after many years of that, after a few decades of that, I'm starting to feel tired. It's not so easy to get up the energy to do that work anymore. Or maybe some press on past 65, but they find soon that the strength of the body is failing more and more. That's a long life of labor. And pretty soon there's retirement and a little rest from that labor for a while. Well, now put yourself in Lamech's shoes. At 65 years old, he's still young compared to all of his ancestors. There's hundreds of years yet of toil and labor before Lamech. All of these earthly sorrows that stem from the curse of God and from the death that the curse brings. And so it is for us in our lives. There are all kinds of sorrows that are the consequences of sin. Some of those sorrows are direct consequences of sin. They are direct chastisements and judgments of God upon sin. Some of our sorrows are not directly related to a specific sin, but are generally connected to sin. But all of our trouble and all of our sorrow in this life is a reminder that man sinned, that God is angry with sin, and that He cursed sin with spiritual death and gave with that curse many other consequences, including all of our sorrows. When we're sick, we're reminded again, we are sinners. When we have a loss or bereavement, we're reminded again, we are sinners and God has cursed sin. And so Lamech, in all of his trouble and all of his sorrow, groaned. He groaned. Now that is not explicitly stated in verse 29, but the implication is there, especially in the explanation he gave to Noah's name. He said, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work." And that word comfort literally means one who exhales with a sigh, one who groans under a burden. In the name, or in the word comfort rather, there is that idea of sighing and groaning. Now, the word has a positive connotation because it means someone who comes alongside of us and helps us and lifts us up in our sighing and our groaning. But the idea there is Lamech himself was groaning as he beheld all of the trouble that he and the rest of his family had to endure. There are two aspects to that groaning of Lamech and two aspects to our groaning as well. The first aspect of that groaning is groaning under the burden, groaning under the consequences of sin and death. It's all the tears that we shed for the sorrows that attend this earthly life. It's all of the sighs late at night when sleep eludes us as we go over in our minds the burdens that we bear and the plans that we're trying to make to deal with these burdens. This groaning and this sighing is the groaning of bearing the burdens and the consequences of sin and death. And strikingly, it is not only Lamech who groans under this burden, and not only you and I who groan under this burden, but the creation itself groans under this burden because the consequences of man's sin extended to the brute creation. In Romans 8, we read that the creature, which refers to the whole creation, groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. That even the creation is sighing with sorrow. The creation is there personified to show the effects that our sin has had upon the creation. And it's very clear in Romans 8 that the reason for the creation's groaning is the sin of the human race. There we read, the creature, that is the creation, verse 20, was made subject to vanity, to emptiness, not willingly, but by reason of him who hath subjected the same in hope, because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. This groan and this sigh is due to the burden of the consequences of that sin in our lives. But now especially what we need to hear is that Lamech's groan in Genesis 5:29 was the groaning of repentance. It was the groan of sorrow for his own sin. And that's indicated by the name he gives to his son, Noah. Now he explains that name to mean there's comfort. And that's true. That's an implication of the name. But the name Noah explicitly means rest. Rest. And Lamech wasn't speaking there about a mere earthly rest, that we're going to have rest from all our work and toil and sweat someday. That's the wrong explanation that many Jews in the New Testament have given to this passage. As they explain the name rest, they mean this meant man wouldn't have to dig with his hands in the dirt anymore. Because there were those inventors, remember, Jabal, Jubal, and Tubal-Cain, and one of them was an inventor of iron metal implements, so that man from this day forward would be able to plow the earth with iron implements and not with his hands and sticks in his hands anymore. That's the rest that Lamech was so happy about. He got a new plow. That's not the meaning of the name Noah. That has a spiritual connotation. Lamech recognized that the curse of God upon the ground was due to sin, and the restlessness that he felt was the restlessness of sin. His naming of Noah, rest, is an indication that he was truly sorry for his sins and expected to receive rest from God from those sins. And that's your groaning and my groaning, and that must be your groaning and my groaning too, the groaning of repentance. We recognize that all of the sorrows of this life are due to the sin of mankind, due to the sin of our first father, Adam. And we recognize that we deserve that spiritual death too. God has saved us from it. He's delivered us from it through the cross of Christ. But by nature, we deserve that spiritual death. We deserve not to know Him. We deserve to have only unrighteousness and unholiness in our hearts. And therefore the calling to you and to me, the sharp calling, the clear calling to us tonight is repent. Repent of your sins. Groan with godly sorrow over your iniquities, and let me groan over mine. And as you and I behold the troubles in our lives and behold the curse that many endure, all of those who are outside of Christ, We ought to remind ourselves of this. Behold, what is the wages of sin? It's death. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry, God, for my sin. Repent of your sins and let me repent of mine. As Lamech lived in the midst of this sorrow and trouble, Lamech had great hope. And you can hear that in his voice as well. You can hear the sorrow in his voice, the trouble in his voice, but we can hear the hope in his voice as well. He called his son's name Noah, saying, "This same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands, because of the ground which the Lord hath cursed." Lamech was filled with hope. How did Lamech have that hope? How could he have that hope? In order to understand that, we need to immerse ourselves in that history and look around with Lamech at what Lamech was seeing and witness what Lamech was witnessing. Let's get Lamech's place here in the history, first of all. Lamech was the ninth from Adam. Lamech was the son of Methuselah and the grandson of Enoch. When Enoch was 65 years old, he fathered Methuselah. And when Methuselah was 187 years old, he fathered Lamech. So that would mean that Grandpa Enoch was 252 years old when grandson Lamech was born. And now we look at the life of Lamech. And we take note that when Lamech was born, all of the generations before him were living yet. Every one of them. Adam was alive. Seth was alive. Abel wasn't, having been killed by Cain. But Seth was the line of the covenant. Adam was alive. Seth was alive. Enos was alive. Cainan was alive. Mahalalel was alive. Jared was alive. Enoch was alive. Methuselah was alive. All of these previous eight generations still alive when the ninth generation Lamech was born. What happened during this man's life? There are only three events that the Bible reveals to us regarding this early part of the life of Lamech. Later in his life, we know that Noah would be building the ark. But during this early part of Lamech's life, three significant events happened. The only three significant events we know of. The first significant event was that Adam died. Adam died. After 930 years, Adam died. That means Adam and Lamech could have known each other, and probably did know each other, but certainly could have known each other. Lamech was 56 years old when the first generation Adam died. That must have been quite an event. Most of these men had never met Abel, apparently, since he was killed early on in the history, apparently. But all of these men would have known Adam. These men probably would have sat at Adam's table from time to time and heard from Adam the history of God's creating the heavens and the earth and Adam and Eve's place in the earth and the sin that they committed and the animal that God killed to cover them. They would have heard firsthand. These men would have gone to church with Adam. In the days of Enos, they began to call upon the name of the Lord, indicating gathering together for public worship. That was in the third generation. So that they probably went to church together and worshiped God together and heard the recollections of these fathers, including Father Adam, together. And now, when Lamech is 56 years old, Adam finally dies, the first of that generation of men to die. No one else had died yet except for Abel way back. but now Adam dies. What an impact that must have made on them all. What an impact that must have made on Lamech. God said we would die for sin. And now we see the physical manifestation of it as Adam dies. The second great event in the early part of Lamech's life was the translation of Enoch. Until Adam died, none of these first 10 generations had died. After Adam died, the next one to stop living on the earth was not Seth, the second generation. He was still alive yet. The next one not to live on earth anymore was Enoch. And Seth would die sometime after Enoch had been translated. Adam died. Enoch was translated. What does it mean that Enoch was translated? As Hebrews 11 verses 5 and 6 show, it means he didn't die. He didn't die. Adam died, but Enoch didn't die. He was translated that he should not see death. Apparently, he was about to die. Jude reveals the prophecy that Enoch was making against all of the wicked around him, that God would come to judge those ungodly wicked for their ungodly deeds which they ungodly committed. And apparently men were seeking him to kill him, because Hebrews 11 says he was not found, implying men were looking for him. He was about to die, apparently, at the hands of ungodly men, including that wicked Lamech in the line of Cain, who himself was a murderer. But Enoch didn't die. He was translated. That is, he was raised to heavenly life without going through death. For all of us, we must be raised to heavenly life after we go through death. In the moment of our death, God will raise our souls to heaven. And when the Lord Jesus Christ returns, He will raise our bodies to heaven and reunite them with our souls. But Enoch received that heavenly bliss and glory in his soul and his body without having to go through death. God translated him that he should not see death. Imagine what it must have been like for Lamech to meditate on these two things. First, the death of Adam, and then the translation of Enoch, and then the third event in Lamech's earlier life happened. His son was born. In fact, Noah was the next child to be born after Enoch's translation. No other children were born, at least no other children that are recorded in sacred scripture. No other children were born between Enoch's translation and Noah's birth. So that at the birth of Noah, these previous two events must have been weighing on the mind of Lamech. Adam, father Adam, died. And Enoch, grandpa Enoch, did not die. There's a message here. And so he named his son Rest and Comfort and Noah. The hope that Lamech was expressing by that name was the hope that the curse of Jehovah God was lifted from man. The curse was lifted. That had to be the significance of those previous two events. God told us, in the day you eat, you shall die. And that happened. We saw Adam die. We saw him even die physically 930 years after he was created. We buried him. But now, the next one to leave the earth does not die. We learn there is such a thing as life, and even as eternal life. We learn that there is such a thing as not death. And how can there be such a thing as life unless the curse is lifted? The curse is death for sin. If there's life, that means the curse must have been lifted. The hope of Lamech then was that there is an answer for the sin of mankind. Now he knew that. They knew that doctrine from the beginning, because after Adam and Eve had sinned, God came to them and shed blood to cover them. He killed an animal and made coats of skins for them. They knew that there was an answer to the sin of man. They knew there was a covering. They had taught their boys that there was an answer to sin in the blood of a sacrifice. As Abel's sacrifice shown, killing a lamb on an altar. But now they see it before their own eyes that there's life, which must mean a lifting of the curse, because Enoch is translated. He's in glory with God without tasting death. What a hope that warms the heart of the child of God today. What a hope that there's an answer for our sin. For my sin that breaks my heart, and for your sin of which you repent in godly sorrow. For our iniquities because of which we groan before the face of God. There's an answer to that sin. There's a lifting of the curse. And in the lifting of the curse of sin, Lamech is also expressing his hope that there's a lifting of all of the consequences, all of the physical death that besets us, and all of the sorrows that even the children of God must face, not because we're cursed, but because we bear the consequences of that curse of God upon mankind. There's a lifting of the toil. Enoch is not sweating in heaven, trying to eke a living out of an uncooperative earth. Enoch is not ripping the skin of his fingers to shred on the thorns and the thistles that he's pulling out of the ground. All of the curse and all of the death and sorrows have been lifted. And that's our hope of heaven. That heaven is a place of blessedness, of pleasure. The pleasure especially of dwelling with God in His own home and beholding the face of our Savior in perfection. There's one more thing that Lamech was confessing when he named his son Noah, and that is this deliverance, this salvation, this lifting of the curse for sin and the lifting of its consequences could come only through the seed of the woman. That's all. No other way. Listen to what Lamech says about Noah. This same, this one who's outside of me and outside of all of my ancestors, this same shall comfort us concerning our work and toil. Lamech wasn't looking within to find the answer to sin. He wasn't saying there's something that I will do to deliver me from this work and toil. But this one, this other one outside of me, he shall comfort us concerning the work and toil of our hands. And who is this other one? Why, it's the next generation of the seed of the woman that God had promised in Genesis 3:15. I will put enmity between thee and the woman, he said to Satan, between thy seed and her seed. It shall bruise thy head. There's the victory of the seed, and thou shalt bruise his heel. There's a seed coming who will be victorious. Lamech was still looking to the seed of the woman, because in the loins of Noah was Shem. And in the loins of Shem was Arphaxad. from the loins of Arphaxad all the way we come to Abraham. And the loins of Abraham was Isaac, and in his was Jacob, and in his was Judah, and in his was David, and in his was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. And there's the scene of the woman to whom Lamech was looking by faith. And there he is, the Lord Jesus Christ, to whom you and I, in our brokenheartedness over sin, look in faith for our salvation from our sin and from the curse and from all of the death that adheres to us because of it. In Jesus Christ is our salvation found. That was the confession of Lamech. And that's our confession too. And so Noah's name is a prophecy. As Lamech himself indicates by saying, this same one shall comfort us concerning our work and toil of our hands because of the ground which the Lord God had cursed. Lamech was looking ahead in faith, though he didn't know the event yet. He was looking ahead in faith to the event of the flood, which is the type of the cleansing that the Lord Jesus Christ provides by His precious blood. Lamech was prophesying the coming of the flood, just as Grandpa Enoch had prophesied in the naming of Methuselah the coming of the flood. When he dies, it shall be sent. So also Lamech was looking ahead to that. But now, as the promise of salvation, through the Lord Jesus Christ. That prophecy we can trace throughout the Old Testament Scriptures. That prophecy we can see fulfilled in our Lord and Savior. Though they didn't know Him by name yet, they held to Him by faith. You and I know Him by name and hold to Him by faith. And from Him, through faith, receive all of the blessings of salvation. And then we can endure the trouble that we see as the consequence of sin. Then we can lift up our heads in hope and know that these consequences are not God's curse upon us, because that curse has been borne by the seed of the woman when our sins were cleansed in His precious blood. And then we have the motive that fills our hearts to live to God and glorify His name and put away our sin to the glory of our Savior. This evening, we consider Lamech, a man in trouble, as you and I, by nature, are in trouble, but a man whose hope was in Jesus Christ, as is ours, and our salvation secure in Him. Amen. Our Father which art in heaven, we thank Thee for Thy word to us this evening. Bless it to our hearts. We thank Thee for the seed of the woman, our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us, comes alongside of us in our groaning, in our sorrow for sin, who works in us faith, unites us to Himself, gives to us all of the blessings that He has earned. We thank Thee for salvation in Him. And in His name we pray. Amen. Psalter number 53. The word that Lamech used in Genesis 5 verse 29 was comfort. And that identical Hebrew word is used in Psalm 23. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And so now we'll sing of that comfort from God's rod and staff in Psalter 53. Let's sing all the five stanzas, all five of 53.
Thank you.
keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen.